If you would turn in your Bibles today to James chapter 5, and we'll get there in just a minute, but I want to tell a quick story. Today I'm going to warn you also, it's an emotional day for me. I'm a bit emotional. So, just bear with me as I tell some stories today. Not this one, though, that I'm about to tell, but some others. So the story goes that there was this guy, and he was going to become a Catholic priest. And he had been in seminary for several years and gone through the years. And he's ready for his first service of ordination. And he's getting ready to do their Eucharist, and he's all happy about that. And he gets up there, and as they do this, they say, "The peace of the Lord be with you." And the congregation responds with, "And also with you." And so he got up there, and his microphone wasn't working. And he stood in front of the congregation on this day, and he was nervous, and he said, "There's something wrong with this." And the church said, "There's something wrong with the microphone." And the church said, "And also with you." Well, what's the point of that story? The point of the story is, it kind of correlates the church and the people that we say, "There's something wrong with you." And people point back to the church body and say, "And with you also." There's not the same thing. When it comes to people's responses to crises, psychologists say there's very little difference between those that grew up in church and those that didn't. Wow, that is a shocking thing to hear. Very shocking. And I thought, when we respond to things, we want people to see us responding differently. We should be responding differently. We can't always be prepared for what comes our way and what we face. But when it does come that way, God says, "Man, I have given you tools to follow my example. I have given you tools to read this and apply it. I've set food out for you. It is yours there for the taking. It's up to you if you take it." But he says, "But don't come to me and say, 'I'm starving to death, Lord.'" He says, "I've laid a banquet out for you. I've invited you to the table. I've given you instruction. It's up to you to take." Mark chapter 1, Jesus says to the people, he says, "I have good news." We always love good news. "I have good news. The kingdom of God is at hand." And remember, he called out to four of his disciples at that time and said, "Come follow me." Church, I have good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Come and follow him. The great news is all are invited. Interesting. This group is primarily women with two men. Women, you are welcomed into this invitation. Younger people in the very back row there. Ed and Linda will include you with them. Young people, you are welcome to this invitation. All points in between. Men, you are welcome. Singles, you are welcome. Single parents, you are welcome. Married people, you're welcome. Divorced people, you are welcome to this. Short people, tall people, hairy people, bald people. You are welcome. Black, white, you are welcome in this place. And you are welcome to his invitation. That is great news. Because for years, thousands of years, they heard the message that not everyone is chosen. Not everyone is welcome. But the good news is, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we are all welcome to that. And we should be responding differently because of that invitation and the acceptance. Now, we talked a long time ago, and we talked about preparing the fields. No rain is coming. The farmer, one prepared his fields for the rain. The other one did not. Said, "No rain's coming." The other one says, "I'm going to prepare my field for the time that the rain comes so I can be ready." And we talked about that's where we want this church body to be. Our connect groups, outside Bible studies, our connect groups are great ways to fellowship and get more intimate with each other and study God's Word. Our Sunday school classes are great ways to learn biblical stories and learn the books of the Bible. Preaching is a great place to hear topical things and things that follow along with certain chapters or whatever, books of the Bible. They all are ways for us to prepare our field for growth. The growth isn't the thing saying, we want to chase a number to be here. Oh, I'd love for the chairs to be filled. But the growth is to be ready for those that say, I'm tired of doing this myself and I need some help. Can your church help me? Can you be there for me? Well, we weren't really prepared for you to come in with problems. We were looking for, you know, well people to come into our hospital. We don't really have doctors and nurses trained up for this stuff, but this guy stayed at a Holiday Inn. Maybe he can help you. No, we want to train up. Man, when we put up the slides for the kids to go, I don't know if you noticed, it was a little bit of a frenzy. And it was a frenzy like we haven't seen in a long time. My Lord, we've got newborns back here, newborns in there. What a wonderful place to be. Adam, could you please get to the book of James where you told us to go 5-10 minutes ago? Yes, absolutely. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. Some of this we've heard, it's familiar, but I want to read through this. And it says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Remember when Jesus called the disciples, he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Church, being patient is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Being patient is one of the ways that we cope with crises when they come against us. Trials. That's what the psychologist was saying when he said, there doesn't seem to be any difference between those that grew up in church and those that didn't. My Lord, this person's impatient, the church person's impatient. What's the difference? You also be patient. Do not grumble against one another, brethren. Why? Lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. We can read through that real quickly. But if we don't slow down, we have to slow down and read this and then take it in. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, what? As an example of suffering and patience. Church, we have our Lord and Savior as our example. Indeed, we count them blessed. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. I got to tell you, when I look around and I see you praising, and I know you've been through things, and I know you're going through things, and I can see your hand raised up, and you're praising God. That brings joy to me and to my heart. To show that you also are an example of suffering and patience and endurance. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. That the Lord is very compassionate and very merciful. We said a couple weeks ago, His mercies are new when? Every morning. His mercies are new every morning. You will have sorrow for a short time, but that will be turned into what? That will be turned into joy in the morning. James is trying to encourage the early church and how to speak to one another. Be patient. Do not grumble against one another. So easy to do, and so easy to jump on that bandwagon. I didn't jump as fast or hard as I meant to once I started that move. But he's trying to give them an example. And then in verse 12, it says, but above what? Above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. And he simply says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Why? Lest you fall into judgment. And Jesus said this also back in Matthew chapter 5. He said, again, you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. Now notice he said you should not swear falsely. And Jesus goes a step further and says, but I say to you, do not swear at all. I don't want you to swear an oath, and I don't want you to swear an oath falsely, but don't swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. And he tells us why. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. James is telling the church, be gentle, be patient, be careful with one another. Blessed are those who endure and persevere. He repeats what we just read from Matthew chapter 5. And he tells us why. Let it be yes, let your yes be yes, no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Okay, so why am I emotional today? Why did I stuff a Kleenex in my pocket to keep it ready? I had a wonderful, wonderful journey yesterday with my kids, my family. And it's really beautiful, but it just pains me at the same time. My son Spencer, my daughter Brittany, Brittany's husband Chris, entered the triathlon. Not the same one I came in last on that I didn't practice. The Ironman. Swimming 2.4 miles Hefner Lake. Thank you. Biking 112 miles. Okay, that didn't mean anything. Running 26.2 miles. And you get out there. And you support them. And you cheer them on. Then we move to volunteer. And I told the volunteer lady, when do you need help? She said, when are you available? I said, really, all day. She said, we really need help at the end. The end was after midnight, 12:30 a.m.-ish, 1 a.m. And I said, we'll be there. She said, that's when everybody else leaves and we don't have help. So we went to volunteer and she said, well, I don't really have anything now. Well, we do have a bike stop. It's the last bike aid stop at Hefner Dam in Britton Road. So going there, a guy said, they tell me you're in charge, so here, download this app and you can hear all the stuff and communicate with us through this app on your phone. So I listened to this app. Last Bikers 109. I said, thank God that's not our daughter. She's not last. And we'd seen her and the wind was blowing hard yesterday. And it was blowing that way. And she was coming this way multiple times on a repeat route. And she came past, she said, this wind is killing me. I don't know if I can finish. You've got this. They've been training for months and months and months. And then the radio says, 101. We don't know if she's on her second, third, or we don't know what lap she's on. Find out. I said, oh dear Lord, she may be last. And they have a certain time. I said, it's okay. They've got 3.5 more hours to go. Then it was confirmed that it was the other biker that was in last place. So I'm hearing all this information. And then they said, 109 is going to pull out. That leaves 101 in last place. You need to go catch up, find her and see where she is. I think my yelling and cheering on has to do with my voice as well. But then they said, no, 109 said they're going on. I thought, yeah, there's nobody out there. They're biking for miles. And there is nobody out there. Because people cheered them on the first time through early in the morning, 10, 11, 12. And then they said, we found the last group. It's 101. It's it's 125. And it's 127. Praise God, my kids are in last place, all three. My three kids. And I had so much peace saying, they're together. They're together. So we just listened to that and said, okay. And then someone said, came across later and said, you need to tell that group they've got to pick up the pace or they're not going to make it. They have X amount of time to get here by the cutoff. 109 pulled out. They're riding back. And many other people were pulling out. My wonderful wife saying, come near me with that thing so I can hear what they're saying. I said, no, thank you. I don't want you hearing all this. And then the call came. The last three are out. They pulled out. ...112 miles they had to ride. They made it a little over 100, and they were so close, and they pulled out. Am I disappointed? Not at all. Am I proud? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thought, we've got to be careful and know when to get out of things. I prayed for their endurance. I prayed for them to be lifted up. I sent my daughter and son and son-in-law a message the day before. I said, I've prayed over you for this race. I've prayed for God to give you endurance and be the wind beneath your wings. I guess I didn't tell them which direction to send the wind, but let it be underneath their wings, and that we were going to be there for them, and we loved them. Heartbreaking to know that they couldn't finish or didn't finish. Heartbreaking for them. Because we never want anyone to feel like they're quitters or failures. We were so proud. So Cindy said, well, where are they going to go? I said, well, they'll take them back across the lake. You think they'll come past here? I don't know. So her and Spencer's girlfriend headed back over there to the finish line. And I waited there for the last biker to come through. Here comes some cars behind him that were, you know, little safety people. We're cheering on those bikes, and here comes the vehicles. I'm cheering. I look up, and there's my daughter and my son and son-in-law, and they just waved and smiled. And I thought, praise God, they're not dejected. They'd worked so hard for that. And I thought, there's a couple life lessons in here. That our race is over when it's over. You see, we think we've got till the end, and we've still got time left. And God says, I'm sorry, your race is over. Did you run that race with endurance? Did you run that race with purpose? My Lord, let's go to the beginning. Did you even enter the race? And we've talked about that before a couple years ago. A So we volunteered, went over, met them, walked them back, or met them back to their cars, and had a good time. And they weren't down, and I was so thankful for that. Heartbreaking to hear them say, "Hey, they pulled out, but I'm okay. It was their choice." So we're beat. Not as tired as them. They've been up since 3:30 in the morning. And they said, everything they've done in their training said, we should be done around midnight, maybe a tad after. Praise God, they got to go home early. So that leaves my wife and I. Well, what do we do? I told them we'd be here till the end to volunteer. I know you don't want me to tell, but, well, let's go. You know, she's leaving. Hey, let's go. I said, we can't. We said we'd be here. There wasn't much to do, but she said, we'll be here. How many runners on the course still? Well, there's 25. How many runners? 14. How many runners? There's 6 left. Okay, great. Our kids are gone. My wife and I are there. My sister and her daughter are there volunteering. Okay, guys, our last 3 runners are heading in. I got this. I got this, okay? Third runner comes in, second runner. Guys, we got 1 runner left. Twelve fifteen, twelve thirty, twelve forty-five. 1 o'clock. There was a man standing on the fence. I walked back and forth. I thought, well, I'm going to go down and see if I see him. No, okay, come back. My sister said, hey, Adam, this is the guy's dad. I said, oh, congratulations, your son, you know, for entering and sticking it out this long. The father was worried. He said, last time I saw my son, he did not look well, and he was in trouble. On the course, that is, not in life, on the course. Course officials going, where is this guy? Man, we don't know. We've sent people out, they can't find him. And it is pitch black out there, by the way. Or was last night. And they've got to run this course that they can't see well. Guys from out of town, I thought, oh my Lord. Not from out of town, he was from in town, but I thought, oh my Lord, what if he took a wrong turn? And that poor guy's going all the way around Lake Hefner. The next to last guy came in. And here's the finish line, and all of a sudden you see his headlamp, and he's running over here. And I take my flashlight and go, over here. The course went like that, and he couldn't tell where to go. So I see him coming back, and he starts going, I said, over here. Then he came in. So I thought, this guy could have easily been lost. The stands at this point, there were 2 sets of stands about as wide as this stage, each one about this wide. They're empty. And I said, this guy isn't coming home to nobody. I said, we'll be here till he comes home. At that point, my wife said, well, we're in now. Okay, you know, it's 1 o'clock. Where is this guy? Finally, word came that his wife had found him and was walking. Church, it is always so good to be there to walk with somebody, to come in with somebody. I was so thankful my daughter was not riding as the last person alone, that her husband and her brother came up with her and rode with her. And the parents said, I'm concerned. Philip was telling a story the other day about the parable of the lost son. And that affection that he gave him when he came home, that he wrapped himself around his neck and loved on his son. And finally the guy came. And he was walking with his wife. And we cheered like he was the first guy across that finish line. And I went and stood in the bleachers with Noah and said, I don't want him looking up and seeing nobody there. We may be the only people in somebody's cheering section. And you never know. And my sister came up and joined me, and we clapped and we rang this hideous cowbell. And we yelled and we hollered. And he came across and he grabbed his son, his infant son, kissed him and came across the finish line with his wife and his son, gave his father a hug. And I thought, that's our Father. That's our Father. Turn in Luke chapter 15 real quick and we'll close with this. Our Father standing there. Where are they? Where are my sheep? Have they fallen into trouble? Have they fallen into the enemy? Have they pulled themselves out? In Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7, it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The lost sheep came home last night to his father. People went out looking for that lost sheep and finally found him. And he came home to a group of weary, worn out and tired volunteers and workers. And I thought this. My sister said, what if that were your kids coming home or coming through that finish line as the last ones and nobody was there for them? I said, I wouldn't want that. These people entered something that very few people entered, and this guy was going to finish it no matter what. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing good. Why not? For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. Church, it is very easy to lose heart in the things that we do week after week, day after day, whether it's our work or our ministry. It is very easy to lose heart. And it's very easy to try and keep a tally. Was this to anyone's credit? Did anyone thank me for this service? Did anyone do this? Does anyone care that we showed up to the food bank? Those kids may not understand how that comes to be, but the food bank appreciates it. And if you gave them your email, they sent you a thank you note. Before I got home, I had a thank you email from them. It's very easy to lose heart. It's very easy to grumble about things. It's very easy to be indifferent and show no difference when crises come our way. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, we were tired last night, but we had opportunity. And by the way, I'm not boasting in us. I'm boasting in the Father that says, man, I'm going to give you endurance and I'm going to give you this lesson as an example. As we have opportunity and we had opportunity, let us. That us includes every one of you. Let us, all of us, do good to whom? To all. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. That father thanked us so much for being there until the end for His Son to come across that finish line. His Son was gone over in the medical tent getting refreshments and whatever, and getting checked out. But His Father thanked us. He said, "Thank you so much for being there for my Son and for waiting and for checking on Him." So as we close, this isn't just simply a recap of my yesterday. There were biblical lessons throughout that day for me, and I hope that I can share those for you and what we do. As believers, God calls us to respond differently than unbelievers. We should be better, more prepared to address and to deal with those things. With patience, He says. That's the first lesson. Number two, all are welcome to meet God and experience the good life that He has to offer. Jesus said, "I have good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Come follow me." And that same invitation is open for you. Number three, endure and persevere. He tells us, "Blessed are those who endure and go through things and press on." Number four, say what you mean. "My Lord, I love those commercials on TV. Hi, neighbor, I brought you this pie. I really just want to snoop around your house. That smells very weird in there. Can I come in?" "Yeah, do you want to come in and snoop around?" "Yeah, that's really why I'm here with this pie." And God says, "Man, just be honest. Let your yes be a yes and your no be a no." "Oh, my Lord, I'm so tired of people saying, 'I'll be there,' or 'We'll be there to support.'" I guess they forgot. Let your yes be yes and no, no. When you don't follow that up, you disappoint. You disappoint yourself, you disappoint others, you disappoint the church. When you say, "I'll be there," and you're not. Number five, we're all responsible for going out and looking for the lost and for bringing them back home. Ultimately, it is the shepherd's responsibility for the sheep, but we're all responsible for looking for the lost and for trying to prevent them from getting lost. A few weeks ago, when we talked about those that wanted transformation, raise your hands. And I said, and those that may not want it, but they need it, raise your hands. 18 of you raised your hands. Let your yes be a yes and your no, no. If you raised your hand, I hope and pray you're doing something about that. If you need help, get with me. We will help you with that. But if you raise your hand and said, "I want transformation," that next step is really yours. What are you going to do about it? What is the next step in your faith journey? It comes through commitment, fellowship, study, and prayer. To be here in fellowship, to be here in study, to be here in prayer. And to be here is a commitment. God desires for us to be a different church. He desires for us to be different people in His church. And He desires for you to be closer to Him than you ever have been. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for the lessons that are out there daily, biblical lessons that are out there daily, for us to find, for us to seek out, for us to be aware of that, discover that these things that we're going through are biblical. Lord, for those sheep that are lost, our desires for them to return home. And Lord, I just pray that that You give me help and boldness in seeking them out. Not to judge them, not to condemn them, just to bring them home where you desire them to be. Heavenly Father, for those that raised their hand a couple weeks ago that said, I want or I need transformation, that you would give them boldness to begin that journey, to discover it, to find it, to search it out. God, as we prepare to celebrate our church anniversary in October, I ask you to be working in the hearts and minds of those people contemplating giving. Lord, that you don't limit them, you don't limit their faith or their sight of what they can see. But you open us up, Lord, to give and to put ourselves in a better position to serve your kingdom and your people in a better way. Lord, as we leave here today, we ask you to be with us and guide our actions as believers to be different, to be noticeably different. Lord, the way we treat one another, those we know and don't know. Lord, guide our tongues and our mouth, as we discussed a few weeks back. That there is death and life in our words. Let us choose them wisely. Let us use our mouth, Lord, for edification of the body, for glorification of you. Let it be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Have a blessed week. If you are a visitor today, I'd like to meet you right down here just for a moment to say hello. Have a blessed week.